Well, welcome everybody to the Women's Wednesday Night Bible Study. I'm pleased that you all would join us. Tonight, we thankfully have with us all that we like to have. Anne, welcome, Anne.
Hi, everyone. Glad to be here.
And welcome back from El Paso.
Thank you. I came in the door, so I'm still trying to get stuff organized here.
Yeah, and just catch a breath, right?
Yeah.
And hello,
Karen.
Got a
month's worth of grocery shopping.
Yeah, that's a big job.
Yeah. Anne just got back from a month grocery shopping trip. So, I mean, she wasn't gone a month, but shopped for a month. Worth of groceries.
Thank you for your
and, I figured that didn't sound right.
Well, anyways, hello, Miss Karen.
Hello.
And we have Miss Megan here with us. Hello, Megan.
Hello, ladies, and all who are here.
And Megan's actually going to start reading for us tonight. We're going to be talking about the fear of the Lord, as we said last week. Last week we talked about fear in the sense of fearing anything but the Lord. So that's something I hope that we are all being mindful of to turn from doing. But we have to turn to something, and the right thing to turn to, of course, is the Lord. But a foundational truth in being the Lord's and being one of his children and doing his will starts with fearing him. And so it's an important subject, because without it, we will not do what it takes to enter in to all that he has called us to enter into. So with that as a beginning, Megan's going to read Proverbs 2, 1-9.
Hey, Megan, when you start, could you get closer to your mic, please?
Is this better?
Yeah, that's better.
My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous, yea, he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness, and judgment, and equity, yea, every good path. This is one of those if-then sort of things. And as I was going through reading some of the verses about the fear of the Lord, a couple of things struck me, which some of the verses will get into. One is that you choose to fear the Lord. It doesn't just come naturally to you. You have to choose it. And you can see it here. If, excuse me, if you receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, if you do this, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. These are action words. You apply the things that you have heard and the commandments that you have received. And if thou criest after knowledge, that's, again, an intense sort of action word, crying after it in the sense of seeking after it. And liftest up thy voice for understanding, you know, asking. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, if you're looking for the Lord, as for treasure, something that's worth an enormous amount, something that's worth giving up stuff for. These are all like, these you don't sit hanging out in your armchair. I'm not saying you can't, but these are things that kind of move you to the edge of your seat, get you moving, get you on your knees, get you standing and praising the Lord. These are, you go after these things. Then, if you do these things, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. It's something you have to seek after, go after. It is there and it is attainable and it's there for whoever wants it, but you've got to want it enough to go after it and not let it go, but let go of everything else.
The word that comes to me when you're speaking is serious. You have to get serious about it. And yeah. Understand the serious nature of its importance.
When we were talking earlier, one of the things about the fear of the Lord is that it is not a fear that paralyzes you. It is a fear that provokes you to seek Him and His ways. And you can see here that these things are not paralyzing kind of things that, you know, it's easy. And there are some fears that come on us that just make us do nothing because we're so overcome in them. But the fear of the Lord brings us to a place where we're going after it. It is an action sort of fear. Does that make sense?
Yes, I know when I think about this, you know, for me, the fear of the Lord starts with or is wrapped up with believing what He says. So if you actually take Him at His word, then you're going to have a fear not to war to obey it and believe it and do it. If you hear it and can spout it and give acknowledgement of it, but don't recognize that without cleaving to it, and seeking to walk in that fear, in that obedience, that you're not in Him. That for all you might know and all you might say, it is in the fear of the Lord that you depart from evil. It is what will make you put off unbelief and put off every high thing, put off everything that is contrary to His word. And also it is, you know, to when it says there, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You know, in this is where we recognize our utter dependence upon Him. But then by faith, knowing that He is there with us, for us, and in us, we then can walk in that truth, because though we are utterly in need and depraved without Him, if we will choose to believe Him, then we are not all of those things. It's an act of faith and belief in Him. And it's where we really have to let the Lord show us where we are not believing Him, and then give no justification or excuse for not pressing in to believe Him for all things that He promises. We gotta believe Him and then stand up because of that. And we're really not going to be provoked to do so unless we recognize that not to do so is unbelief. It is that rejection of knowledge that is in Proverbs 1. you know, wisdom crieth without. Well, we have wisdom. We can spout wisdom. Do we do wisdom?
Okay, Robin, one thing I think we should emphasize here, too, is in order to understand the fear of God, then you've got to be in the Word. You've got to receive His words. And the only way you can do that is if you're spending time reading the Word of God. And also incline thine ear unto wisdom. A lot of the sermons that we hear are filled with wisdom. Are we listening? Are we taking that in? And if we don't do that, we will never understand the fear of the Lord. And we'll never be able to walk in that fear of the Lord. So I think it's important to really emphasize, get in the Word. Read the Word. Take it in. Feed your spirit. Then you'll be able to understand the fear of the Lord.
Another important element to that is prayer. When Megan was going through the Christ after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, this is an element of seeking it before the Lord, and we know He wants us to have it. And we know His promises, seek and ye shall find, ask and ye shall receive. But these are things we have to be about, as you said, word, and getting the Word in us, praying that we hear the Word, believe the Word, and choose in that belief to do the Word. So,
yeah, and pray for understanding of the Word.
Yeah.
He'll give it to you. If you're just reading it so you can say, well, I read the Bible today, that's not going to do you any good. But pray for the understanding and He will give it to you.
And I know that one of the things about that is the Lord, once He gives it to you, you have to receive that too. And if you go down into the Deuteronomy 17, 8 through 13 scripture, and I'll let Karen read that in a minute, but you see, and it's a little different context, but you see where you can come to the Lord for judgment or for discernment or knowledge, or to His people for that, those who He has shown to go to. But if you don't then obey it, you're in a pretty bad place. So Karen, would you read that? And I say that because how often do we reject the counsel of the Lord? It's easy to do.
Okay?
Yes.
Alrighty. If there arise a matter too hard for thee in judgment, between blood and blood, between plea and plea, and between stroke and stroke, being matters of controversy within thy gates, then shalt thou arise, and get thee up into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. And thou shalt come unto the priests the Levites, and unto the judge that shall be in those days, and inquire. And they shall shew thee the sentence of judgment. And thou shalt do according to the sentence which they of that place which the Lord shall choose shall shew thee. And thou shalt observe to do according to all that they inform thee, according to the sentence of the law which they shall teach thee, and according to the judgment which they shall tell thee, thou shalt do. Thou shalt not decline from the sentence which they shall shew thee to the right hand nor to the left. And the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister there before the Lord thy God, or unto the judge, even that man shall die. Even that man shall die. And thou shalt put away the evil from Israel. And all the people shall hear and fear and do no more presumptuously.
You know, in the context of our lives, you know, we have people in authority over us, and they give counsel. And you come to them for their judgments of a situation. Maybe it's not between you and another person, but judgments of things in your life, of things that you've done, are looking to do, or whatever. If you reject that counsel, I mean, what good is it to you then? It's great that you came. And so it is in the Lord. You know, I know that all of us, if we think about it and we'll be honest, even in, say, this day, I don't mean we have to think back 5 years ago, but just in our present circumstances and our present life, how much we reject the Word of God. We're in disagreement with it so often. It doesn't fit what we think or what we want to think, and thereby we oftentimes reject it, and we don't want to. And that goes back to that choice to choose the fear of the Lord, to choose His ways, to choose, as Anne said, that which the Word says, which the only way you're not going to know it is if you read it, to choose when we hear the Word of God in a service to then do that what we have heard. It is easy to hear and then go about our days as though we never heard and not do that which has been spoken unto us to do. And it was spoken unto us so that we can rise up and be those servants of God that He has called us to be. There's no other way to get there. And for me, when I hear, "Enter in, thou good and faithful servant," when I read that in the scripture and I look at myself, I know I have a lot of, I mean, I'm not calling myself God's good and faithful servant. I know I have to press in and really become faithful with that which He has given me to do in each day. And I got some pressing to go, and I got some work to do, and I got some focus to maintain, and not turning from the right or the left. It is easy to turn from the right or the left. But what makes me think I'll be found in Christ and pleasing to Christ if I don't do that? I mean, I actually don't think that. I do not mean to undermine His grace and mercy, because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that. And I won't be here at the end of my days if it wasn't for that. But that doesn't give place to staying where I'm at and thinking that it doesn't matter. There is a place for me to go. And because I believe the Word of God, I'm going to press to get there. To do otherwise would mean I don't believe Him. That's not where I want to be found.
The last three verses of the same chapter, Deuteronomy 17, talk of what both you and Anne were speaking of.
Do you want to read them?
Okay. Deuteronomy 17, 18 to 20. "And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in the kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel." It talks there of getting the word in you, knowing the word, you know, writing, at this time it's talking about writing a section that the Levites had and copying a section so that he could read it, he could know it, and he could read in it, what did it say? Read therein all the days of his life, that, in other words, so that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of the law and these statutes, to do them. So, as you have the word, more of the word in you, you can learn to fear the Lord. Again, something that you choose. Yeah.
Amen. And that is talking about, isn't it? It comes when you have a king, because Moses spoke to the children of Israel about the day when they'd have a king. Not that that was of God, but it was given unto him to address it. Because God, of course, knows the heart of man. And then he goes down, but it is true for all of us. And if we want to rise up and be faithful servants of Christ, we're going to be in a place where we have to do that. And the only way to get there is by doing it now. I think we can go, Karen, back to Proverbs 8:13 and Proverbs 3:7 if you want to read those two verses. And this is basically, there's a teaching on the website we talked to you all about last week. This is under a heading, What Does It Mean to Fear God? So this is the definition, so to speak.
Okay, Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate.
Do you want to read Proverbs 3:7 also?
Yep. Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil.
Now, you know, when you look at Proverbs 3:7, I don't see anything in there where you're waiting around for it to happen. It gives you three commandments. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. And depart from evil. Evil being unbelief. Replacing it with believing God. And then the definition, the fear of the Lord, is to hate evil. And then it gives a definition of that, pride. We got to hate pride. Put it off. Depart from it. Arrogancy. Being pompous and full of ourselves. And the evil way. The Lord has a good way for us to walk in. Anything outside of that is the evil way. And the froward mouth do I hate. And I don't know the definition of that word froward, but basically I would say, and somebody can look it up and correct me, that froward is to speak contrary to, be in disagreement with the Word of God. Be against it. And it can come out in being against those who have the rule over you.
The Strong's has a definition which says, a perversity or fraud, very froward, perverse thing. And a way of explaining it that Steve has used in the past is, you're given an instruction and you think you can improve upon it. You change it because you think you can do better. In the sense of changing it, really.
It's in a sense Go ahead, Anne.
Another thing, too, that in these two scriptures, especially the second one, Proverbs 3:7, if you think you're great, and I can see this as self-righteousness. If you are walking in self-righteousness, there's no way you're going to fear the Lord. That we have to get rid of self-righteousness. We're not so great. We're pretty bad, to be honest.
Yeah, we have to realize He is God. And we are not.
Therefore, what He says is true and what we think isn't, right?
Right.
But I can see this basically, you know, if you're wise in your own eyes, that's just being self-righteous. And, I mean, I can think of a lot of words to describe how we really are. and I don't think I want to put them over the air.
Yeah.
But,
well, and how does it look when we walk being wise in our own eyes? You know, because I hear you say that, but, and we can all sit here and think, oh, well, I'm not wise in my own eyes, but, you know, that isn't true. Lots of times we believe our own report, and it's in disagreement with the Word of God. And I say it in this sense that if we are asked to do something by somebody in authority over us, and we disagree with them, thinking that, you know, that isn't really the best way, or that isn't the right way, or that isn't what we should do, or that isn't this, or that isn't that, that's being wise in your own eyes. That is not fearing the Lord and departing from evil. That is the first part of Proverbs 3 where it says, be not wise in thine own eyes. And you know, the beauty of...
That reminds me of your favorite verse, Robin. Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. And that just reminded me of what I thought you were talking about when you were talking about be not wise in thine own eyes, and how you think you can, you think you're not, and you still are. But it's by mercy and truth that that happens, and men depart from, by fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. If
and
that makes
really
sense.
What, yeah, this Bible study is about to incite a fear of the Lord to provoke us to depart from evil.
Another way of looking at...
Go ahead.
Another way of looking at being wise in your own eyes is when you're asked to do something and you do it the way you would like it done, rather than finding out how the person who's asked you would like it done, is being wise in your own eyes, you know, leaning on your own understanding. Or being asked to do something and you don't know how to do it, so you flubber around, rather than either asking or going and asking the Lord how would be, you know, if he could give you the way to rightly do it for the person who's asked you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of instances where, and I know it's happened with Steve many times, I know it happens with Davey a lot, where he'll tell something, somebody to do something and tell them to do it a certain way. And then they go off and think they knew a better way, and it always messes up. But if they had done exactly what he had said, it would have been fine. And that's one of those being wise in your own eyes. You think you're better. You think you know better. You have a better way. And the Lord is good in that when you don't obey and listen and do what you've been told, exactly how you've been told to do it, it never works. And that is one when you think you're wise in your own eyes.
And you know the beautiful thing about that, Anne, because it says in James, we know that God resisteth the proud. And it's easy to look at that and think, well, God resists the proud. That's not me, obviously, because I'm a Christian. But the thing is, he resists us when we're proud. And that's something that is good for us. Doesn't feel good, but it is good. You know, he doesn't support that which is unto our damnation.
Yeah, we just have to learn from it, you know, and realize we're walking in pride. And by doing that, God will resist us.
Yeah.
You know, in Proverbs 8:13, something that I think is worth pointing out, it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And if you watch any television, if you put on the telly for 5 minutes, you will see pride being exalted. I'm proud of you, son. You will see arrogancy and displayed and exalted. You will see the evil way. You never see a right marriage relationship, almost never see a right marriage relationship on TV. I'm using TV just as an example of what's in the world, but, you know, you can look anywhere, really. The froward mouth, having a better answer. These are things that are exalted in the world that are not thought of as being evil. And yet, in the Lord's eyes, they are so.
And you know, it leads right into Proverbs 23:17, where it says, "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long," because it is easy if you dwell in those places and fill yourself with that stuff to envy that life or that way or that exaltation. You know, it's easy to envy that which the world exalts. For each of us, it would, the ease with which we do or would do that is different, but it's easy to do that. And the Lord says, let not thine heart envy sinners. We're to keep our hearts and minds stayed upon him. That's our job. And we have to do what it takes to do that. And part of it is in what we feed ourselves. Going back to feed yourself the word. But also, obviously your whole day isn't spent doing that. So be mindful of what you feed yourself in the fear of the Lord all day long. Be aware of the necessity to be watchful. Let's see where we should go next, unless one of you want to jump in.
How about Ecclesiastes?
That's such a beautiful one. I was going to kind of use that one near the end. It's kind of a great ending one, but go for it.
Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion. You're right, it is a conclusion. Well, we can still bring it back at the end, you know, as the second witness. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. There's nothing else. Fear God, keep his commandments. It's exactly what he says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. In those two things, everything else is covered. And part of that loving the Lord first is you're going to fear him and want to please him.
It's what moves you to keep his commandments.
Yes.
You won't keep them if you don't fear them. You'll hang out where you are and think you're safe. And yet this is the whole duty of man.
Yeah, and it's going back to what you say about thinking you're safe is you can read them. Gosh, the Pharisees did it over and over. You can read them and think it applies to someone else rather than reading it and seeing, well, I may not be right here right now, but by golly, I could be here in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Or a short time, or maybe I have been, you know.
Well, we do find ourselves in those places, but when we do, we turn around again. It's really that simple, and the stronger we get in turning around, the more we're going to be in with our faces in the right place. And we are in that process developing that which will, the end of that is our faces are in the right place. You know what I'm saying? That's the end of that. And the only way to get to the end where we are doing that, where we do love the Lord our God with all our strength, mind, and soul, and love our neighbor as ourselves, is by doing it. And we're going to fall a lot, and we're going to find ourselves not doing it. But the answer isn't to beat ourselves up about it. It's to turn and do it again. And you see clearly in Paul's writing, Paul's one of those people where you see such strength and such obedience to the Lord that it is easy to miss that he includes himself in his counsel. So he says, wherefore let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. He doesn't say, wherefore you. He's saying, he's commanding his own self to do that. And you can see that it is an everyday process and one that you do until the end. His conversation at the end was that he had done it. You know, that he turned his face back and back and back and never gave up. And the end of his conversation was that he had kept the faith. He had to war to do it, just like we guys have to war to do it. But it was that important to Paul. And he did it with all of his might. And the end was what is what we want our end to be. You know, he said, I am ready to be offered. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown. He warred a good warfare, but he warred it. He wasn't above it. He partook of it by faith because he believed God. You know, Hebrews 11, every man and woman that is a man and woman of God, and we have this book that testifies of many, we have people in history outside of this book and people currently that would be in this book or are in this book just unwritten. Every one of them rose up in Christ because they feared him. They didn't get there without that, and they didn't get there without the warfare, and they didn't get there without the choice. And that's what we have to want to get to, too.
You know, there's, as you're talking about kind of standing, you know, once you've fallen and whatnot and getting up again, Luke 1:50 says, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. His mercy is on them that fear him. And it just isn't for them. It's for them, their children, their grandchildren, you know, whatnot. But his mercy is on them. If we want his mercy, which is there because we, you know, well, we don't quite get it. Yes. Then we need to fear him because his mercy is on those who fear him. In fact, which brings us to another verse, which I really like, in Psalm 147, verse 11. Can I read it?
Yeah.
It says, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy.
Yes.
When he... His mercy is what they hope in because they fear him. He is pleased with that. That's a wonderful thing.
And you know, it's kind of interesting, Megan, because you can't hope for his mercy without, as Karen said in the beginning or earlier on, you know, God is God and we're not.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is that until you recognize you're not and your whole hope is dependent upon him and you cleave to him and you want to do his will, he's that good, that worthy, his word is true, it's the only truth, it's the only right way, it's the only way of promise and hope. You know, that's what God asks of us is just that, is to cleave unto him, to believe him, to desire to walk as he would have us walk and to do as he would have us do and to say as he would have us say. We can't do this in ourselves, but in him we can. And he will perform it if we will stand up knowing that and go forward because we know his word is true. And, you know,
Steve,
you...
Just,
go ahead.
No, carry on. I'm coming after
you. No, go ahead.
Okay. Steve says he describes mercy in the sense of, because he's an attorney, throwing yourself on the mercy of the court as a...
knowing you're guilty? You
know. Yes. Yeah. The evidence is all against you. You admit you're guilty, and you throw yourself on the mercy of the court. In other words, yes, I'm wrong. Please be merciful to me. And the same is true with the Lord, only more so. In order to receive his mercy, you have to admit that you were wrong. You have to recognize the fact that you need his mercy because you are guilty. Guilty, guilty, guilty.
Yes.
And without his mercy, where else can you go that there is hope? There isn't anywhere.
But you know, like when the woman that was caught in adultery and all those guys brought her out and wanted to stone her. And, you know, they all left one by one when Jesus said he who is without sin cast the first stone. And in the end, he was there alone with the woman. And he looked at her and he's like, you know, where are your condemners? And she said, there aren't any. And he said, neither do I condemn thee, but go and sin no more. And I don't mean to suggest that we're one day not going to be sinners while we walk this earth. That's not what I'm saying. We're always going to be dependent upon his grace and mercy. But we have to understand that it's not there so that we can continue as we are. It is there so that we can choose him over and over and over again. Choose his ways. Choose to believe him. Choose to walk in obedience. And it's all, and in so doing, we really have to put off us. We cannot do it in us, in our flesh, in our natural understanding and how we look at things. We also, if we will believe him, we'll be set free from the things that seem to hold us in bondage, which are really the fruit of unbelief. We find ourselves in bondages because of unbelief. Fear of the Lord is a part of believing God. You don't fear him if you don't believe him. You don't fear him. You just aren't going to. But when you read his word and recognize how far short you fall, but recognize his call is to stand up in him and to do his will and to walk in his ways, then you're going to do what it takes to do so. You're going to do what it takes to do so. And to not do so, well, you fall after the example of unbelief that Paul so clearly expresses in Hebrews 3. When he uses the children of Israel. And the interesting thing about them that is important, or one of the interesting things is they had an incredible testimony of God in their lives. I mean, every one of us here can testify of what God has done in our lives. So could they. But they did not enter in because they did not mix the word of God with faith. They did not believe God and choose it and the fear of him over their own fears and understandings. And he tells us in Hebrews 4 to labor against that, lest we fall short of any of the promises of God. I'm pretty certain sitting right here, every one of us do. So we have labor to do. We have prayer to pray, and we have the Word of God to read, and to pray that he will give us hearing, pray that he will quicken it to us. And then it's up to us what we're going to do with it. And we got a lot to learn in this department, and we got to really be serious about learning it and doing it and wanting it. And he'll bring us through it. He will. And it's a daily walk. He says, sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. But what are we doing in that day? You know, let us learn to seek him in his ways. That's love. And that's the receiving of the love of God. Karen on page 4 of this thing, Megan read the last one there in the benefits of fearing God with Psalm 147:11. But if you would read, starting with Proverbs 1:7, there's benefits to fearing God. I mean, there's no end to the benefits, but, Proverbs 1:7.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Yeah. So it's the beginning of knowledge. It's not the end of our conversation or the end of knowledge, but it's the beginning. And if you don't go after it, and if you don't, same with me, if we don't take heed to instruction, then we actually would be in the category of despising wisdom and instruction. It says fools despise wisdom and instruction. Our natural man is that way. And our natural man will lead us that way. And we've all been led that way. But we want to turn and learn a new way.
And turning that around there a little bit, the fear of the Lord provokes us to want to seek wisdom and instruction. Yeah. It's going to provoke us to want to do the things of the Lord. Because, you know, if we have a true fear of him, then we're going to want to do these things and get out of ourselves.
Amen.
Do you want to read the Proverbs 9:10?
Yes. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding.
These are things to want, I would say. I want wisdom. We had the beautiful testimony of Solomon, who was the wisest of men. And the righteous judgments that he brought down because of that, that gave glory unto the Lord and settled things well. They were settled when he brought his judgment. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. You want to know God? Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of that. And then Proverbs 15:33, Karen.
The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility.
Now correct me if I'm wrong, but before the Lord can honor you, comes humility. And that humility never departs. The walk of a believer is always a humble walk before the Lord. But he will honor those who fear him. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom.
He says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. It doesn't start with him lifting you up. It starts with you humbling yourself.
Yeah.
And the thing is, and that's And the first scripture we read over in,
Proverbs 2.
Here. Proverbs 8:13. Oh. Fear the Lord is to hate evil. Pride. But pride is the opposite of humility. So we have to strive to get rid of the pride and walk in humility. And that means we don't think we're so great after all. He's the one that's great. We're not.
You know, another benefit to fearing the Lord is clearly seen in the book of Esther. And we all know that Mordecai withstood Haman, who was the king's right-hand man, and Haman, in his hate and vengefulness, weaseled a way to kill every Jew. And that was all the Jews. They were all under the king's domain then. They were all in captivity there. And Mordecai didn't shrink back from that. And, of course, we know that his adopted daughter Esther was the queen, and he told her she had to go do something about this. And, of course, Esther gave a reasonable response, I mean, and not even a wrong response in the sense that it was a question or something that had to be answered. She said, you know, he hasn't called me, and I'm not allowed to go in without him calling me. If I do, he might kill me. And he said to her, and this is somebody he loved, he said, if you don't go do that, don't think that you're going to be saved and your household. Don't think it. Like you're going to be safe, it may have been what he said. And she heard him. He answered that question mark, I guess you might want to say. And she went in, not knowing if she was going to die. She did what it took to do the commandment of the Lord. But the end of that story, the book of Esther, is that when the Lord moved and saved his people, that the fear of the Jews came upon the people in that kingdom. And it was a kingdom that spanned from, I think, like Ethiopia to India. I mean, it was a huge kingdom. It was the kingdom of the world at that time. There was an enormous amount of people that became Jews because of that. And this is a ministry that seeks to train us that we might go forth and minister the gospel into the world. And that's what you saw, and it all came from fearing the Lord and doing what the Lord said, which wasn't an easy task and wasn't a small thing, but the end was salvation. I think that's a pretty good benefit of fearing the Lord, and it is one that I think you see reflected in 2 Chronicles 7:14 when it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, I might not have it perfectly, then will I hear and forgive their sins and heal their land. There is a hope that remains if we will obey God. We might find ourselves in some situations that are unnatural for us to stand in. But if we will, we will. And he will be manifest. And that is the hope of the world, is the manifestation of he who came and died for it. That's our job. And it starts with us, with the Lord. It doesn't start anywhere else. We gotta do it. So Megan, we're at the end. Do you wanna read that lovely Ecclesiastes verse as the conclusion of the matter? Sure, which you have already read, but we'll read it again.
Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
And we know outside of him we cannot. We cannot love. We cannot keep his commandments, but in him we can do all things. So we can press toward that mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus if we will choose to. And I hope and pray that each of us will every day. So.
Can I leave you with one more verse?
Yes.
2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
Amen. Let us do so. And do you have anything further you'd like to say?
No, I think that scripture that Karen read just now kind of sums it all up. So let's go forward and seek knowledge and seek wisdom and seek to fear the Lord.
And
amen.
Amen.
Well, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. May God bless all of you who are here tonight.
Amen. And those who will hear in later days.